أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وأجل فرجه.
ثم السلام على آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم الأجمعين إلى يوم الدين. صلوات.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وأجل فرجه.
رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الإنسان إنك كادح إلى ربك كدحا فملاقيه. صدق الله العظيم. صلوات.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. So we've been looking at Surah Al-Inshiqaq. I'm hoping you remember the surah. Surah number 84, it's got 25 ayat. The first thing to know about any surah is, what does it mean? So again, this is a little bit of repetition so that you remember. Inshiqaq was to split open something that was irreparable. So if I split open, if God splits opens a stone, you can't put it back together again. So this is Inshiqaq. We're then going to look at the focus of the surah. And the surah talks about two major themes. One is that you and I will meet our striving, whatever that striving is. And as in Surah Al-Baqarah, he says, وَلِكُلِّ وِجْهَةٌ هُوَ مُوَلِّيهَا فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. Everybody has a direction, find the best of directions. So that's one. The second thing he talks about is that whatever stage you and I are going through, we will come to a conclusion. In other words, we're going to die. And we're going to be accountable. And there is going to be Jannah and Jahannam. Nobody is going to be spared that. You could try as hard as possible, but we are going to age and we are going to die. Okay. So those are the two themes. We also divided the surah into five sections, if you remember. The first section was cosmic chaos. And that's what we're talking about. We're continuing to talk about it, about the day of Qiyamah, or the day of accountability. And I mentioned yesterday that the Meccans believed in God, but they did not believe in accountability. The second section is that we will meet our striving. The third section is that every stage of life will reach a conclusion. The fourth section is a warning to those who do not follow divine guidance. And finally, the last section, which is the last ayah, talks about limitless, I talked about a movie as well, but limitless rewards for those who manifest their belief into good actions. But all that will come at some stage. Yesterday, we started off by talking about the first section. And if you remember the first section, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, إِذَا السَّمَاءٌ شَقَّتْ. When the heavens will be torn apart. Torn apart as if they will be broken apart. And then he said, وَأَذِنَتْ لِرَبِّهَا لَهُكَّتْ. They only do it because they got permission from their Rabb and it's something they had to do. The third and fourth ayah says, وَإِذَا الْعَرَضِ مُدَّتْ. And everybody knows mud, when the earth will be stretched. And you remember I said that this earth will empty itself out, and ayah 2 and ayah 6 are the same. Yesterday we talked about how it was good, or it was beneficial, or it was recommended to do muhasabah. Muhasaba was to be able to take account of oneself every single day. And that we were talking about this concept of muhasaba. And I started off with something very simple when I said, 5 minutes in the morning, 5 minutes at night, 5 minutes in the morning to do, not to say shukr or to say alhamdulillah, but to do shukr. And we talked about that as well. And at the end of the day to do istighfar. So we're going to expound on that a little bit more. First of all, when you look at any goal that we want to achieve, these days you have apps. Okay, so on your phone, you have an app. For example, you want to lose weight. Have you seen those apps? Yeah. Or you haven't? You have. So I'm not talking about Ozempic here. I'm talking about apps. So the apps you have, for example, I'm not going to give names because I'm going to be advertising them, but they will tell you, scan your food, and then this is what you eat, and this is how many calories you eat. And there's nothing wrong, nothing at all. Another app that might be useful is one that's done by the NHS, and I know my children used it, was an app to get them off the couch and onto a 10-kilometer run. I think it's called Couch to Marathon or something like that. I know because I went to see the children run this marathon and they were couch potatoes. But it actually tells you 5 minutes of walking, 5 minutes of running, whatever the case might be. However, if you search for an app for muhasaba, there isn't one. There is one for mindfulness, there's one for wellness. Come on, you can search them if you want. But muhasaba is something you and I have to motivate ourselves in doing. Yesterday I mentioned the book, Atomic Habits, and that sort of helps a little bit. But at the end of the day, the motivation comes from you and me, because you and I know we are accountable. So there wasn't any app I could find that would be able to take you through this. What I did find also was something I want to go into before I go into the motivators, was a book that I found by Robin Sharma called The 5 AM Club. Have you heard about it? Oh, thank God for that. Somebody up there is nodding. Okay. So The 5 AM Club talks about, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, Tim Cook, Michelle Obama, they all talk about this, about waking up in the morning, and he talks about 20-20-20. So 20 minutes, he says, you will exercise, 20 minutes you will meditate, and 20 minutes you will learn a new skill. I'm going to change that a little bit. I'm going to talk about the Fajr Club, because Fajr Club is not 5 o'clock, huh? So lies kaza. So let's talk about the Fajr Club. So if you talk about Fajr Club and divide the Fajr Club into three parts. The first part is Salatul Layl. And you don't have to do all 11 rakats, la la la. You can do one, which is Salatul Witr. And the whole of Salatul Witr is based on the kunut, and the whole of the kunut is based on istighfar. Have you seen it? Astaghfirullah Rabbi wa atubu ilayh. Allahumma ighfir lil kulli mu'minina wal mu'minat. And they tell you, make a list of people, and then you have those list of 40 people. It's okay. Just look around you. These are all the people you will include in Layl. When I used to talk to my mama, she used to tell me, I go continent by continent. And I would go, mama, how do you do that? And she would say, well, I go to Africa and all the people in. And I said, but that salah will be so long. She said, yeah, that's why witr took me half an hour. I'm not asking you to go continent by continent, okay? Just witr, istighfar, forgive me and forgive everybody else. The greatest honor you and I would have is to be on somebody's shab list. Don't you think so? Well, it's phenomenal if they remembered you. Imam Ali says, there are two places where you should try and be, either in somebody's heart or in somebody's dua or both, okay? So bother them so much until they put you on their shab list. So, so you have Salatul Layl, then Salatul Fajr, and then you have your dua. You know, Bismillah wa billahi wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ali wa ufawwidhu amri ila Allah. What do you say? In the morning, you're telling him, I hand over all my affairs to you. Inna Allaha basirun bil ibad. Fawakahu Allahu sayyati ma makru. Allah will protect you. Recite that dua. So let's go to the Fajr Club. When we're talking about thinking about muhasiba, you're talking about Layl, you're talking about Fajr, and you're talking about the dua. But now we need these motivators. We need somebody to be able to take us through this thing. And these motivators in Islam are called friends. Let me tell you some of the ahadith. So the Prophet said, he says, whenever you see one of the gardens of Jannah open before you, benefit from it. This is what he said. Companions are sitting there. And he said, when you see one of the gardens of Jannah, benefit from it. And they said, Ya Rasulullah, where? Where are these gardens? Where do we see these gardens of Jannah? And he said, it's a friend. A friend who has iman in his Rabb. So they said, Ya Rasulullah, but we have lots of acquaintances and lots of friends. Who is a good friend? And he said, number one, one who reminds you of Allah. So when you look at them, they will remind you of divinity. And remember, divinity wasn't harsh. Huh? I talked about it yesterday. Divinity was Rahman and Rahim. If you have one of those friends, and I have one, who tells you off all the time, oh my goodness, they're good. They're good, but okay. The second one, their conversation increases your knowledge. When you talk to them, it's not knowledge about other people, by the way, no gossiping, huh? But they increase, you want to know more about life from them. And the third one is that whenever they do something, it reminds you of the akhirah. I repeat. Now, it's not about looking at my friend and saying, does my friend do this? It's about looking at me and saying, can I be a friend like that? So one, reminds you of Allah. Two, what was the second one? You're supposed to tell me all this, okay? When you converse with them, your knowledge increases. Not Google, huh? Like, really nice knowledge. They teach you how to make rotli. Okay, the third one was that when they do something, they remind you of the akhirah. So these are friends. And remember, friends are based on proximity. You know, Rumi writes about a story about a stork and a raven. They were best of friends. You know what a stork is? One of these flamingo things, okay? And then the raven is this black bird. And these two chatted for ages. And Rumi says, as he went near them, he found that both had broken wings. And that's why they were friends. So you come close because of proximity. We come close to each other because we're Ahlul Baytis. I'll go a little bit further. It is because we are Husseinis. And we're close to each other. So muhasiba, I need a friend. And I'm going to go through some of the friends. I call these friends MK friends. Do you know what an MK friend is? No. Obviously not. Okay. Because it's a word I came up with. So in there's a little picture I have on my phone, by the way. And it's a phone of a little boy dragging another little boy. And the direction is to Jannah. Okay, so he's doing that. Now, the Prophet says, a sahibu sahab, by the way, a companion is one who drags you. And he says, what they will do is, imma ila al-jannah wa imma ila al-nar. They will either take you to Jannah or they will take you to the nar. So a friend will either drag you into Jannah or will drag you into Jahannam. Now, an MK friend, do you know Gujarati at all? No, okay. If you don't, I'll tell you. So an MK friend is one who mari kutine musalman kare. That's MK, right? M for mari and K is kutine. Mari kutine friend kare. That means they don't care. They will take you into Jannah because they can't live without you. They love you so much. And that's a friend I have. So mari kutine musalman. That's an MK friend. There's a JK friend as well. Do you know what JK friend is? It's Joshan Kabir friend. Okay. So JKs and MKs are good friends to have. Now these motivate you. For example, Abis and shows up on the day of Ashura. Abis was the one who said, Hubbul Hussein ajunnani. The love of Hussein has made me crazy. So him and shows up were friends. And shows up, said, what do we do today? Wake up in the morning, 10th of Muharram, what should I? He said, what do you mean, what do you do today? Today, we're both going to go and give our lives for Hussein. Have you had those friends who say, you say, what do I do today? They said, let's go to a class. Let's go to a masjid. And they go, no, I'd rather sit at home. And they go, no, you have to. Now, I come from a community. I was born in a place called Moshi, small town on the foot of Mount Kilimanjaro. And I mentioned this before, I'm going to repeat it to you. Every Friday evening, the ladies had a majlis. Every Friday evening. And we walked to the mosque and we had a majlis. Some of you remember, right? So we went there. Now, even if you didn't go, you went. Should I tell you why? Because if you didn't go, that whole bunch would come to your house. Are you not well? We've come to see you. And you say, but I just didn't want to come. So if you didn't want to go, you still went. And that's an MK friend. Okay, now let's see what Quran says. So Quran... So the Quran talks about a few friends. One is Khalil. You heard of Khalil, right? So you can write this down, Surah An-Nisa, ayah 125. Allah says, وَاتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ خَلِيلًا. He took Ibrahim as a Khalil. You know what Khalil is? Khalil is someone who, when you see them, your eyes light up. You know, you sort of think, yes, she's here. That's a Khalil. A Khalil is one who understands you in the sense that what hurts you hurts them. I'm giving an example. Stories are good. So there's this guy. And it was Eid day, or the Eid day was the next day, and he didn't have any money. And his wife said, the children will not have Eid food or Eid clothes. So he knew he had a Khalil. So he writes to his Khalil, who's in the same town, and he says, I'm really short of money. You know, I'd love to borrow some money from you. Immediately, his Khalil sends him 1,000 dinars. And he hangs on to this 1,000, he holds his 1,000 dinars, and he thinks, oh God, tomorrow I'll be able to get my children food, and I'll be able to get them new clothes. Just then, another friend of his calls him and says, I'm stuck. I need 1,000 dinars. Without thinking, he sends this to his other Khalil. When he sends this to this other Khalil, he's thinking, how am I gonna go home? Because I told my wife, now we've got some money. So he spends the night at the mosque rather than at home. Next morning on Eid day, when he goes home, his wife says, you sent this money. It was the same bag that had gone round. What had happened was, the first friend who sent him the money had asked the second friend if he could lend him back the money he had, and then he got it and sent it back to him. I know it sounds different, but that is what Khalils are about. That is what Khalils do. They don't think. They are there. You just have to pick up the phone and they're there. They're always there. Okay, so that's who a Khalil is. Okay, then we have another one. I'm not going to go into each one, but let me pick another one. Another one is Rafiq. Do you know who Rafiq is? You know Rafiki in Lion King, right? Rafiki is a friend. Now, it's from the Arabic word rifq or rafq. Both mean comfort. Mirfaq in the Quran means a cushion. Now that's a cushion that you place where it hurts. You know, you have that small cushion that you place on your back. Okay, you're not old as I am, okay? So when you get old, your back hurts and you need a cushion. That's mirfaq. Or it's a cushion that you lean on and you think, oh, you sink into it. Have you seen those cushions? Right, and they're difficult to get up from, okay? That's a mirfaq. Incidentally, the cushions in Jannah are green, you know that? So you have a green cushion in your lounge, okay. So mirfaqa is that sort of thing. Now Quran talks about it. Surah An-Nisa, ayah 69, I'm not gonna go through each ayah because you will look it up, it talks about rafiqa. Now this friend, a rafiqi, is one in whom you find comfort. One that you do not have to fake with. One that you are you as you are you. You don't have to pretend with them. You don't have to worry about them. You don't have to worry that if I tell them something, they'll go and make it worse. La, la, la. You're so comfortable. You just sit down and think. The third friend Quran talks about is bitana. You heard of bitana friends? Okay. Bitana is button, means belly. If you Google belly friends, it says two friends that are pregnant. Quran calls them bitana friends. And I'll give you the ayah number. Surah Al-Imran, ayah 118. And he says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, La tattakhidhu bitanatam min dunikum. Never take bitana friends who are not Ahlul Baytis. I'm adding that in, okay? Who do not believe in God, who do not believe in the Prophet. I say, don't take them among the Ahlul Baytis. Anyone other than Ahlul Baytis. The sad thing is, when you talk to people, they will say, oh, she's a Khoji and she's a Shia. No, 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 I got someone else. Why? These are the ones who are going to pray for you. These are the ones who will say to Allah when you die, they will raise their hands and say, forgive her. Will they not? Forget about dying. These are the ones who in their Salatul Layl, they will put your name down and raise your hands and say, Ya Allah, forgive her. So these are bitana friends. Bitana friends is a friend who keeps your secrets. Not only do they keep your secret, they keep it in their tummy, and they only expend that which is good. The bad they throw away. So what did we say? Khalil, Rafiq, and Bitana. Okay, I'm going to talk about a few more. There is Sadiq. That friend is a true friend. Has no ulterior motives. Is a friend because they are your friend. There are lots of them, but I'm going to choose a couple more. And one is Kareen. Kareen is also known as one who will take you to Jahannam. But a Kareen friend, in Arabic, the word Kareen comes from Karn, which means tying two camels together. A Kareen friend is a little bit annoying. Because wherever you go, they're there. Wherever you turn, they are there. And they are just there. If you don't reply to their WhatsApp, oh my goodness me. They write three more. Until you say, okay, Baba, I'm here. Okay, I'm all right. But it's good to have a Kareen friend because they drag you with them. Are you good? Now, the idea is not about saying, my friend is not like this. It's about, am I one of these friends? Now, I'll elaborate, I'll add a little bit more here. A friend is someone who is totally TTC. Oscar Wilde says, a good friend is one who stabs you in the front. A bad one stabs you at the back. A friend is one who stabs you in the front. What does that mean? That means like my friend, they just keep on telling you off all the time, right? Okay. It's good to have those friends. It's really good. But they've got to be TTC, truthful, trustworthy, and more than anything else, compassionate. I cannot stress that enough. Compassionate. The kindness has to show through. Okay. Now, if you put all those together, I'm going to go over them with you again because I'm mainly a teacher of children and I love kids and they teach me more than anybody else. So we're going to go over them again because I don't want you to forget. Normally when I go to a majlis or when I sit here, many people will say, oh, it was a good majlis. And I say, what did I read about? And they say, kawane, this, that, and the other. And I think, for God's sakes, 9 hours I sat to prepare your majlis, and all you could tell me in your feedback is that your scarf wasn't ironed. I've got feedback like that. And I say, I'm sorry, I don't have a wife. If I had one, she might iron my scarf for me. Okay. So, if you remember the friends, what was it? Khalil, Rafiq, Bitana, Sadiq, and Kareen. Yes? Now, if you put all those together, you come to a Habib. That's what you come to. Put everything together and you come to a Habib. If you ever find a Habib, my goodness me, do not let that one go. What did Allah call the Prophet? Habibullah. Yeah, you want to find a Habib. Your search is for a Habib. Do we not read about Habib ibn Najjar in Surah Yasin? What happens to him? There's Habib ibn Najjar. He's got all these spots on him and he's got a disease. They send him away from town. When those messengers come, he says, please follow them. What do? They kill him. And when they kill him, he's told, ki ladkulil jannah. He doesn't say, yay, I made it, I got jannah. Kala ya layta qawmi ya'lamu bima ghafara li rabbi wa ja'alani minal. How I wish my people, doesn't matter if they killed me, how I wish they knew how to get Jannah. He didn't worry about anything. He didn't worry about they killed me, I don't want them with me, nothing like that. He wanted them with him. That is a friend you and I need to find, a Habib. And like I said, you find a Habib, for God's sakes, don't let go. Hold on. I'm going to talk about one more that you might remember as your wasila. His name was Uwaisi Karani. You heard of Uwaisi Karani? So Uwaisi Karani is this phenomenal man. He had a mother who was blind. And he just wanted to see his Habib. His Habib was the Prophet. He just wanted to see him. So he tells his mama, I want to go to Medina to see my mama, to see my Habib. And his mama says, you know what? Just one day. One day in Medina, and then you come straight back. He goes to Medina, knocks on the door, and Umm Salama says, I'm sorry. The Prophet is not here. He's gone away. He's gone on a trip. Can you just imagine how he felt? It's just it's just something that you cannot even think about. So Uwais Sekarani did not see the Prophet. He went back because his mama had told him to come back. And when the Prophet got there, I'm just translating verbatim, he said, "Who am I seeing in this house?" He tells Umayyah Salma. Umayyah Salma says, "Nobody, there's nobody here. There's just me." And he says, "No, there is a nur, there is an energy in this house that you cannot, you have to tell me who came." And Umayyah Salma says, "It was Uwais Sekarani." And he raises his hands and he says, "Uwais, I am with you and you are with me. A Habib is someone you don't have to see every day. It doesn't really matter. But a Habib lives here. A Habib lives in your du'as. A Habib lives on your musalla. Their name is always there on your lips. That's what Habibs are about." And it doesn't mean a Habib has to be any external friend. It could be a daughter. It could be a non-womb daughter. It could be absolutely anyone. They are there. You know they are there. That's what they're about. So today, we're going to talk about a Habib. And a phenomenal Habib. Absolutely phenomenal Habib.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Now the love of the Ahlul Bayt was instilled into Habib from childhood. Now, this is narrated from Mazahir. Mazahir is his father. Mazahir says that I was walking with the Prophet, with Rasulullah in Medina, and Hussein and Habib were walking in front. And he said, suddenly the Prophet sat down on the ground and called Habib, took Habib in his lap, hugged him and kissed him. And Mazahir said, "Ya Rasulullah, what has my child done? What has my child done to deserve such an accolade?" And he said, "Have you not been watching? Everywhere that Hussein steps, Habib takes the earth and he kisses the earth." You know, you and I have these sajdagahs in our house, don't we? What we call moors, do we not? They contain the earth, a little bit of the earth from Karbala, from where our Habib was buried, is it not? We have an opportunity to hold that earth. We don't give it the respect it should, but we have the ability to hold it and say that is the earth that Habib got. He got called a Habib because of that. His name was Habib, but he was a friend of Rasulullah, of Imam Hussein. Anyway, fast forward. When you are in trouble, and may God keep you away from all the troubles of life, there are two people you will call. You will either call your mom and dad, or take them as one entity, and more so you will call your mama. Say, "Mama, I need help." Or you will call your friend. That's what you do. If your mama is not there, and may God keep all moms safe, there is one person you will call and it's your friend. And that's exactly what Imam Hussein did. When he got to Karbala and he's surrounded, the first person he thinks of is Habib. He sends a letter. And we narrate this so we understand what a Habib is. He sends a letter to Kufa. And when the person bringing the letter knocks on the door and Habib opens the door, he didn't have to say who he was. He said, "Ana Qasid al-Hussein, I am from Hussein." But Habib recognizes the handwriting and he holds the envelope and he kisses the envelope. And his wife says, "What is it? Tell me. I want to know what's in there." He says, "I don't know, but it's from my friend. It's from my friend." And she says, "Open it." And when he opens the letter, and he says, "Habib, I am surrounded." But look how he says. He says, "Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Min Hussein ibn Ali ila rajulin fakhi Habib ibn Mazahir." From Hussein ibn Ali to a most intelligent man, Habib. And she says, "What did he write?" And he says, "First of all, I need to tell you that I need you to be safe. I need you to go back to your parents." She says, "I don't want to know that. I just want to know what your friend wrote." And he says, "He's surrounded." And she said, "What are you standing here for? What are you doing talking to me? Just go. Just leave. Just go. I will be fine." He leaves. And the reason why we remember Habib on the 3rd or the 4th of Muharram is because some ahadith tell us that he got there on the 3rd or the 4th of Muharram. Allahu ya'lam what date it was. When he was getting there, Imam was giving out his spears. And it's really amazing what friends do and the vibe they have. Because when Imam was giving out the spears and whatever he had to give them, there was one left. And they said, "Who is that for?" And he said, "That's for my Habib." And just then Habib turns up. Even today. In fact, Habib, throughout this period of 10 days, he told Imam Hussein, "I'm going to be a watchman. I'm going to stand at the door of your tent, and anybody who wants to come has to come through me. Today, if you go to Karbala, and may Allah grant us the opportunity to go there, you will find the first grave you come to is the grave of Habib. And then you come to Sayyidul Shuhada. And when you come to the grave of Habib, and even today, it's his day or tomorrow, whenever you want to, raise your hands in dua and say, 'Ya Allah, I give you the wasila of Habib. Give me a Habib who will drag me to Jannah, who will MK me to Jannah.' That's what you want. Somebody who will take you through that." Abu Thamama is the one who reminds Imam Hussein al-Islam about namaz. He reminds him about Zohar Salah. And when he reminds him about Zohar Salah, Hussein ibn Namir says, "Pray as much as you like. Your Salah will not be accepted." Habib goes out to the battlefield in front of the army of Yazid. And these people know Habib as a very intelligent man. And they tell him, "Why are you there? Why are you not here with me?" I won't go into the polemics of the battlefield. He fights a battle and he falls. When he falls, these are his words. He says, "Assalamu alayka ya Habibi." Is it an honor to call somebody a Habibi? "Peace be upon you, O my friend. Do not come. Stay where you are. Accept my salams from a distance." Imam cannot do that. He runs with Abu Thamama. He takes Habib's head on his lap. And he looks at him and he tells him, "What an excellent friend you are, O Habib." He tells him, "You would recite a whole Quran in 24 hours. Look what Imam talks about him as being an excellent friend. Habib looks at Abu Thamama and he says to Abu Thamama, "I need to tell you something, a wasiya." Abu Thamama said, "I'm coming the same way. Don't tell me, I won't be able to fulfill it." He said, "No, I'll tell you one word. Usika hadha rajul. Do not leave this man who is madloom, on whom injustice has been done. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun."